You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, here we are Friday morning getting together with our audience out there, and it's a beautiful day in Vancouver here in the weather department.
And, of course, with the weekend coming up, the forecast is rain.
Oh, I hadn't got that far yet.
We'll enjoy today.
Yes, we enjoy today, yeah.
We'll kick off the show with a couple of listener questions. Our first one comes from Chris. Hello, Jim and Bob. Recent reports suggest that the U.S. Department of War is seeking an additional $600 billion in defense budget over the 2026 $1.5 trillion for its 2027 budget. Is the U.S. going into a war economy? And if so, how does this impact markets, bonds, etc., etc., etc.?
Yeah, it's quite a step, but I think Trump, as you know, had shut down about seven wars around the world in other countries. And this one, they've got the crazed priesthood in Iran, and they were getting close to building and being able to build an atomic bomb. And the really scary thing is that they would have used it on Israel. They are that full of hatred and that crazy. So then it was appropriate that the U.S. move to shut these guys down. And I am very impressed with the hardware and the software that the U.S. military engaged. It was incredible. So the objective is to get rid of the crazed priesthood and hopefully have fall back into more of a democratic government. So we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Now, we have a couple of questions from William. Bob, during the first months or so of the year in this post-bubble contraction, which, as you note, may have already begun, should one, an investor park all one's money in high-quality government or corporate bonds of 3 years or less, or is it also a good idea to cost average into gold bullion as well?
Well, on gold, you know, one should always have some gold in a portfolio and also perhaps in your safety deposit box. But now, on the fixed income side, junk has been outstanding for a long time, reaching a high in early January, and then it's been correcting. But while junk was rallying so brilliantly, it was showing that there was no regard for risk out there. And we know that in a financial party, there is nothing but risk. So the we can get in the case of a major contraction, you don't want to be long U.S. Treasuries, like out the curve, because they can get whacked. You don't want to own any low-grade stuff at all, junk, high yield, get rid of it, because it is, some of them are going to go to default or disappear. And a nice place to park your money would be in good-grade corporate bonds. You'll get a somewhat better return than from treasuries. And in the term, 3 to 4 year term, which, as we all know, means in 3 to 4 years time, the bonds will be redeemed at par. So pretty good position, and yeah, and for Canadians, of course, if owning, then you'd have to go to a very good trading desk to get these, would be U.S. corporates, 3 to 4 year maturity. A very nice place to be, I would think.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy, taking a look at some of the headlines that caught his eye. The first one, private credit's zero loss fantasy is ending as rising defaults loom.
Yeah, this private credit funding, it has quite the cachet now. They're thinking that it's special and won't be influenced by market forces. Hey, yeah. Forget about it. It's starting to crack already. So, yeah, it's amazing how these notions appear.
Were people getting these private loans because banks felt what they were investing in was too risky? Say they wanted money for Bitcoin or for a risky IPO?
Like banks can act a little recklessly in a crazy market, but there's a certain quality of debt that they won't get involved with. So then you've got private investors out there who say, okay, we'll come in and lend you money at a premium, and that's the way it works until it doesn't work.
Yes, and the same question was asked, will these defaults lead to a stock market crash or a market correction?
No, actually, we have been in the biggest financial bubble in history, and you could actually call it in the past, they were called financial bubbles. But this thing has been the everything bubble, everything in it, and we know from previous examples, the first was the South Sea bubble in 1720, and ours is number, in 1929 was number 5, and ours is number 6. So once the great bubble is over, then the contraction starts almost immediately. In the regular academic and financial world, the Standard & Poor's 500 index is considered as a leading indicator, because most of the time on the business cycle, the stock market peaks, and then maybe 10, 12 months later, the economy peaks and it heads down. But it's a different world when you're at the end of a great financial bubble, is both turned down at the same time, virtually within a month of each other. So once we've concluded that the bubble is over, and perhaps it is, then the course would be dithering around for a while, and then into a major decline. And with the economy slipping quite quickly with it, and this is what we're watching for now.
Now, a headline we have from Zero Hedge, jobless claims in the U.S. hover near record lows, sustaining no hire, no fire narrative.
Oh, yeah. That's the hot story that you get when things are absolutely terrific.
In Canada, they say we gained 14,000 jobs last month. Is that really a lot?
Well, I think they were excited about that because Ottawa is desperate for positive news. And I understand that most of them were government jobs.
Oh, wow. And of course, in BC, we've had this problem where something like 80% of the new jobs were all government jobs.
Oh, well, I didn't see that number, but no. I can believe it.
Yeah, that was a statistic that came out a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 4 in 5 jobs were created by government.
Good grief.
And of course, locally, the Greater Vancouver Regional Board pays their people terrific salaries, $750,000 a year for the chair of it.
Yeah.
Do you think government officials should get paid more than the prime minister, who makes $400,000 a year?
No, that's the way it is. But a long time ago, government wages were lower relative to industry because it was such a cushy deal, and you had no risk of losing your job. But now they got it all. They can't lose their job, and they're getting paid above scale. It's a crazy world.
An inconvenient tree uncovered in Alps, Europe, much warmer today than it was 6,000 years ago.
Yeah, I guess the interesting thing is they can get temperatures, indication of temperature history from tree rings. And all I know that on the work on reliable studies that you had the Holocene optimum about 8,000 to 6,000 years ago, really warm. And that's where you got the image of a fair size of a stump and maybe 5 feet of a good sized tree on the edge of the Arctic Ocean in Canada, way up north. So, the climate changes. And here's the one that really bothers me, Jim, is that the global warming hysteria crowd figures that warming is bad. So all you got to look back on is almost a billion years of since life form began on our hospitable planet. And the best parts are during the warming trends. And on the last ice age, 12,000 years ago, the ice extended, for example, down to where Chicago is now. So let's say we can go back 12,000 years ago and lift up the edge of the ice at Chicago. What kind of life are you going to find under there? So this has been an astounding promotion to promote that warming is bad. And then the other one is that that it's caused by molecules of CO2. Well, they must be imagining that a CO2 molecule has a shiny side to it, and it's out there, and it reflects everything back to Earth. Well, of course, we know that a CO2 molecule doesn't have a shiny side down, and wherever it is, if it gets a photon of energy from heat reflected off of the Earth's surface, it just gives a little wiggle, and that's that. So CO2 has nothing to do enforcing warming or cooling, but if you take a look at the numbers, and for many millions of years, a turn to warming, a real climate change to warming, leads temperature by 500 or 600 years. A turn to warming leads CO2 atmospheric concentrations by 500 or 600 years. So the amount of CO2 in the air is behind the temperature changes.
Now, Bob, taking a look at the economy and the ammunition that's been expended in the Middle East by the U.S., would it be a good idea to invest in defense stocks because they're going to have to replenish those Patriot missiles and other munitions expended?
Oh, yeah, I think that's probably already in the market, so, yeah. Yeah, that's probably large. The consumption of explosives and brass and copper and all that sort of stuff is probably in the market. But then some of the weapons that U.S. is using, they just zap people with high energy and turn their guts to a mess. So, you know, there's some very interesting ordnance that the U.S. is using.
It looks like Iran will be able to impose a $2 million toll on every ship going through the Strait of Hormuz. That wasn't the case before. Is that going to cause permanent high fuel prices?
I would say it's not going to happen. U.S. is not going to allow that sort of nonsense. And also, here's the other thing, is crude through the Hormuz Strait is Europe and China. It has very little to do with the U.S., which is becoming more and more self-sufficient with energy production. And then you got Canada. And if we get a change in government Canada, we can go back to being a producer of raw materials and energy and all that sort of stuff. So, no, I'm not concerned about running out of energy. I think there's going to be a lot of it around.
Do you think these high fuel prices will convince people in North America to buy electric vehicles?
No. No. Electric vehicles are very expensive for what you get. And the car, you know, rare earths and all that sort of stuff that go into it. So the insult to the environment to build these things is terrible. So EVs is just a real, real crazy fad. And I think it's here's a line for you. I think the fad is fading.
Bob, anything else that you'd like to discuss now?
I was just going through some old cards and paper the other day, and I got a card here with the front cover. Good cartoonist, a turkey executive at a desk, and across the desk from him in the chair is a white chicken, Chicken Little. And it's the old saying, it was Chicken Little who said the sky was falling. And then you look at it, the inside, sell sky. If the sky's going to fall, let's sell it. So that's my side for today, Jim.
Sell sky, buy ground.
Yes.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we enjoy ourselves together, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.